You would take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 11. And rather than having a normal, I guess if you can have a normal Father's Day message, I wanted to bring a message upon some things about our Heavenly Father. For our Heavenly Father is the prime example to all of us. And certainly He is that one that has guided and protects His people. We celebrate today Father's Day. Back in 1909, there was a lady by the name of Mrs. John Dodd of Washington State. And she proposed the idea of Father's Day. And she wanted a special day, her personally, she wanted a special day to honor her father. Her father's name was William Smart. He was a Civil War veteran. And he was widowed when his wife died in childbirth with their sixth child. And he was left to raise the family just by himself. And not only a newborn, but the other five children. And after Mrs. Dodd became an adult, she realized what strength and selflessness that was involved from her father as a single parent raised those six children. And she just wanted to have something special for him. And so the first Father's Day was observed on June the 19th, 1910, in Spokane, Washington. And became, of course, widely known around the country. In 1924, President Calvin Coolidge supported the idea of a National Father's Day, but it was not until 1966 that Lyndon B. Johnson signed a presidential proclamation declaring the third Sunday of June as Father's Day. And so I'm glad we have that, but we have a Heavenly Father that gives us all the instructions. He gives us the prime example of what needs to be done for us and with us. Father's Day has become one of the holidays that we celebrate, not only fathers, but that father figure, that person of the home that is so instrumental in guiding the home. If you would, in Luke chapter number 11 and verse number 9. Luke chapter 11, verse 9 says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then," notice verse 13, "if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father," my goodness, thank God this morning, if we as wicked people, and we are wicked, we're sinners, thank God we've been saved by grace, but we still have that wicked heart in us. And here the Lord says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" If we give good gifts to our children, how much more will our heavenly Father give unto you and I? He is interested in our welfare. He is interested in our well-being. He is interested in how we feel and things that we do and the needs that we have. Our Heavenly Father, I'm sure, cares beyond our human understanding. And He will always be there for us. He'll always be there when we call upon Him. For He is the great I Am. And He's also the great I Will of the Scripture. This morning, I'm going to look at just a few verses, and primarily it's just going to be Bible verses that tell us some things that our Heavenly Father says, "I will do." And you can rest assured that when God tells us something, We can just take it to the bank. He will do exactly what He says that He will do. This morning, as we celebrate this day, our minds should go to our Heavenly Father. He is the one that cares for us and watches after us. If you would, turn back to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. Very familiar verses of Scripture here. But it uses that phrase that we want to deal with. In verse number 26, we will begin reading. It says, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clotheth the grass of the field, which is today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall ye eat, or what shall ye drink, or wherewithal shall ye be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The little phrase there used two times, "your heavenly Father." I'm glad this morning that I can say without a shadow of a doubt in my heart and my mind that I do have a heavenly Father. I have a Father that is in heaven, and He takes care of all the needs that we have. Not only do I have an earthly father, as all of us had, but we have a heavenly Father by a choice that we have of trusting and believing upon His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that made us a new creature in Christ. And I want us to just look at some things and some verses in the Scripture, and mostly this morning will just be verses of the Bible and making just a few comments of some things that God says as our heavenly Father, some things that He says He will do for us, and how that He helps us. Number one, I want us to look, I'll just read the verse, no need of turning to all these different verses, but in Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 2, God says unto Abraham, He says, "I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." The first thing that we find that God says is our Father, and every one of these that we have here can be applied to our earthly father other than one thing that earthly father cannot do. But He says here, first of all, "I will bless you." Who of us this morning could stand and would be able to stand and could announce that our Heavenly Father has been a great blessing to us? He has blessed us with bounty. He has blessed us with material things. He has blessed us with a hope and a home in heaven. And so therefore we know that He will bless us. As He told Abraham, He says, "I will bless you." And He says, not only that, "I'll make thee a great nation." And we know from studying the Bible that what God told to Abraham was that, "I'm going to have your children become a nation. It's going to be a great nation, and your name is going to be great, and thou shalt yourself, Abraham, you shall be a blessing." And so here the Heavenly Father was talking to the father of a nation, the nation of Israel, and He says, "You're going to be a blessing to all these many, many people." I'm glad this morning that I can say God has blessed me. God has wonderfully given me many more things than I deserve. I'm glad He doesn't give me what I deserve. I'm glad He gives me what He desires for me to have. I'm glad He honors me and He blesses us with many, many things. And so when God says, "I will bless you," just wait for the blessings will be on the way. We know that He's the great I Am, but He's also the great I Will. I will bless you. This morning, we could go down the aisles and down the rows and in each section of the auditorium this morning, and probably it might be good if we did that. If we just said, "Why don't you just stand and tell one or two blessings that God has given to you as a father, that God has honored you with, and some things that God has done in your life." Sometimes it's good for us to remember the blessings that God
has honored us with. But God told Abraham, He said, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a great nation. And He did exactly as He promised him. And everything that the Lord has promised you and I, He will deliver on those promises. He will do that because He is our Heavenly Father. Which of us, the first scripture that we read, which of us would ask of our Father to give us something? He'd give us something just totally opposite. Very few times that might happen. And then He says, you being evil, you know how to give to your children, how much more your Heavenly Father knows how to give to you. How much more God knows my heart and my need and your heart. And God knows how to deliver the very things in your life that's a blessing unto you. And so He says, first of all, I will bless you. But another thing is given in the book of Joshua, chapter number 1 and verse number 5. God is talking to this man, Joshua, that has just taken over the leadership of the nation of Israel. And Moses is gone. He's off the scene. They've crossed over into the promised land. And God tells Joshua in verse number 5, chapter 1, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. The second thing that God says, I will do, He says, I will not forsake thee. This morning, not a one of us in this building can give testimony that God has ever forsaken us. If there is, please stand and be identified. Because we cannot say God has ever forsaken us. He's always been there. He says to Joshua, He said, I will be with thee and I will not fail. I'll not forsake you. I'll not fail you. I'll not forsake you. But on the other side, which of us, one of us could say in here that we have never forsaken God. I'll tell you what, we've all forsaken the Lord. We've been guilty of that. We've forsaken Him on many, many occasions. But I'm glad this morning that me personally, I can say that my Father, my earthly Father, never did forsake me. He never did turn His back on me. He never did say no to me, the things that He thought were good. Now, He didn't give me everything I wanted. I'm glad He didn't. He didn't give me everything I thought I had to have. But He was always there. He never turned His back upon me. Even after we got married, after we had children, had Amy, we had our child, He was still there to help. And thank God, our Heavenly Father never forsakes us. He's always there to deliver on His account. Praise the Lord this morning. God says, I will. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. And I will not forsake you. Now you find in Psalm number 32. And these are just verses of Scripture that I picked out where God says, I will. In Psalm 32, verse number 8. He said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. And I will guide thee with mine eye. Here we find that God says, I will guide you. The guidance that God gives to us is far more important than the guidance of anyone else. And God tells us, and David says in Psalm number 32, God told him, says, I will guide you. David later said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. And so the guidance of the Lord is so very important for the child of God. He doesn't save us and just leave us here to wander around. He doesn't save us to wonder what we're going to do tomorrow or just wonder how we're going to live and how we're going to survive. He saves us that we might serve Him. And He said, I'll guide you every step of the way. It doesn't matter if the sun is shining or dark clouds have come over our life. It doesn't matter if things are calm or if a storm has arisen in our life. God says, I will guide you. I'll be that one that guides you through the hard parts and the difficult days of life. And who of us do not have those days? And which of us don't have the hard times? But thank God we have a Father in heaven. We have a Heavenly Father that loves us, cares about us, and desires to help us. And He says, I will guide you. I'll tell you which way to go. Have you ever come to a crossroads in your life and not know which way to turn? I'm glad God knows which way you ought to go. And He can direct you. He can help you.
If you come to that crossroads, do I go forward? Do I go right? Do I go left? Do I stand still? I'm glad God says, I'll show you and I'll help you which way you need to go. I will guide you. We have many guides in our life. We have many things that help us along the way. We have road maps to guide us from one point to another. We get modern and we have the GPS that we hope will guide us from one point to another. It'll finally get you there. It may not be the shortest route, but it'll get you there. And we have guideposts. We have signs. But the far best and greatest guide we've ever had in our life or ever will have is our Heavenly Father. He impresses upon us. And somebody says, I don't know that He's ever spoken to me. Well, you better check out your life then, because He speaks to His children. He speaks through His Word. He speaks through the message. He speaks through impressions. He speaks through many different ways that are applied from the Word of God that we know which way He would have us to go. Somebody said, how do you know? How do you know for sure that you're doing right or going the right direction? Because we have a guide. We have one that helps us. We have one that gives us that instruction. So He says, I will guide you. I will bless you. I will not forsake you. For you see, His promises never fail. Every promise you find in His Word, they never fail. Every promise that is there will come to pass. Personally to us, collectively as a church, collectively as the people of God, when God promises us, He will provide. As He guides us along our pathway of life, He will take care. He is our Heavenly Father. That's a wonderful phrase, Heavenly Father. My Heavenly Father, He lives far beyond the imagination of my mind, but He's there. And one day I'm going there because He's my Father, and He's going to gather His children into His home, and we shall be there forever and forever. His promise never fails. His power never fails. His purpose never fails. And I'm glad His presence never fails us. And so therefore He can guide us in the paths of righteousness, not for our namesake, not for our good, but for His namesake. He will guide us. In Isaiah chapter 41 and verse number 10, Isaiah writes these words, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee," God tells him. "Be not dismayed," don't be surprised. He says, "For I am thy God. I will," here's another "I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Here are three times that God says, "I will." I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, and I will uphold thee. When you're weak, He can become your strength. When you are about to go under, He can hold you up. When things are going wrong, I'm glad He's the help. He's the one that gives us direction in our life. And so He says, "I will strengthen thee." Again, I'm sure this morning that we could go around the auditorium and different ones could give testimony of a time when God gave them strength to do things they didn't think they could ever do. You see, for you and I, sometimes we look at the situation of someone and we say, "I don't know if I could handle that or not. I don't know if I could go through that or not." Well, when you get to that point, I'm glad God gives you the grace to go through it. He gives you the strength. He upholds you. He helps you to do what's needed in your life. So He'll strengthen us. He'll help us. And He will uphold us. Be not dismayed. Don't be surprised. God, our Heavenly Father, is the one that desires to do all those things for us. Then He says in Psalm number 50, verse 14, verse 15, "Offer unto God thanksgiving." He says, "And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee." I will deliver. Thank God for deliverance. Not only did He deliver me one day as a lost sinner, but He's delivered me time and time and time again in my personal life. In deliverance of knowing He has helped. I will deliver you. Brother Bradley just made mention a while ago that, boy, this is a busy week for Brother Bradley. Father's Day, spiritual birthday, and birthday. Pretty busy week. He made reference to when he trusted the Lord. Spiritual birthday.
That's when God delivered him. You and I this morning, every one of us that named the name of Christ, we have that spiritual birthday. When God delivered us. That word delivered, it's a wonderful word. It means we've been set free. It means we've been taken out of captivity. We've been delivered. And our feet, the Bible said, have been set on a solid rock. And of course, that rock is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been delivered. I can go back to a different date. You can go back to a different day or time. You can go back to a different situation in your life when you realized you needed God and you realized you were lost and needed the Lord and you become a Christian. That's your spiritual birthday. That's the time that God delivered you from the grip and the hold of Satan. He's our Heavenly Father now. He's not our judge now. He's our Father. And so therefore, He will deliver us. Our earthly fathers, those that are right with the Lord, they can bless us. They can not forsake us. They can guide us. They can strengthen us. And they can deliver us from physical things that we encounter in life. But this next one in Ezekiel chapter 36, this was the one that our earthly father cannot do. There is no way that an earthly father can do what God does. In Ezekiel 36, verse 26, Ezekiel writes, as God speaks, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. God here says through Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart. Something totally new. I'm glad God's not in the patch-up business. He gives you a new heart. He doesn't go in and do a little bit of repair work. He gives you a new heart. For the Scripture says that our heart is deceitful. The Scripture says that our heart is wicked. The Scripture says in Jeremiah that we can't even know our heart. And so God says, I'll give you a new heart. I remember, and down through the years, certain things are stick in our mind. I remember just as a young guy, I'm not sure what year it was, but I remember that there was a man in South Africa. He was a doctor and made headline news one day, big newspaper headlines, first complete heart transplant. I'd made news. I think his name was DeBakey or something like that. And he took the heart out and put another heart in. That wasn't a new heart, but it's another heart. Well, God outdoes him all totally together. God gives us a brand new heart. Years later, I preached a message on God's heart transplant. And He does take a new heart. He says, my son, give me thine heart. We give Him the old heart, and He gives us a new one. All things made new. Now, my earthly father, if it had come up to it that he needed to, I think he would have given me his heart. He would have given me any part of his body that I needed in order to live. I know a preacher that he lives over in Crittenden County, and back a few years ago, his kidneys failed, and He wasn't going to live. And his wife gave him one of her kidneys. And not too long ago, I read something he wrote. And he said, my wife, so many years ago, gave me my life back. She gave a kidney that he might live. He took it, and it's been 18 years ago. And things have gone well. And she gave a part of her body to him that he might live. And I'm glad God gave his life that I might live. He died that we'd live forever and forever. Thank God for the new heart that the Lord has given to us. I ask you this morning, do you have that new heart? Oh, I've tried to patch it up. I've tried to get it fixed. No, God doesn't want that. God doesn't do that. God's not in that kind of business. But God will give you a new heart. He says, call on me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest.
He says, come and
I'll give it to you and I'll honor you and I'll give you a new heart. And he says, as we walk through life, there's other things that we don't have time this morning to go through all of them. But after we get that new heart, God says, I'll hold your hand. God says, I'll not forget you. God says, I'll forgive you of your sins. God says, I'll comfort you in all ways of life. All because we have new life. Probably in the congregation this morning, most of us would raise our hands if I was to ask, how many of you know that you're going to heaven? We'd raise our hands and say yes. You know why? Because one day God gave you a new heart. He gave you a new life. He gave you a new everything. And maybe someone here this morning doesn't have that. I'm glad he's still in that business. I'm glad he still saves. Brother Bradley again testified about a 16-year-old boy getting saved in their Bible school. Praise the Lord for every person that comes to know Christ. Last year in camp, we had some kids here from our church got saved at camp. Thank God for that. And we'll hear reports probably this next week after camp's over. Somebody else will get saved. Maybe somebody would know some of the kids there that they've been acquainted with. God gives them a new heart, a new life, a new way. And He's our Heavenly Father. Praise the Lord this morning. All that He's ever done for me has been good. All that He's ever given to me has been right. All that He's ever done has been good in my life. How much more your Heavenly Father? He cares, He loves, and He desires. He works for us as we serve Him. Let's stand together this morning and I ask you the question, do you have that new heart? Do you have that new liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever come to the point in knowledge of your life that I need God? I need God. People have died making that statement, I need God. If you need Him, I'm glad He's there. And He will supply every need. Our Father, this morning, we are so glad that You are our Heavenly Father. You're the one that has done everything for us. Our God, we ask You this morning, as we take these few verses and just scroll through Your Word. Dear Lord, sometimes it's just good just to scroll through the Word of God and read the promises of the Lord. Dear God, I'm glad that You've said, I will. And my Father, I pray that You would speak to hearts this morning. If there's any individual, whether it be man, woman, or young boy, young girl, that does not have that assurance in their heart, that they have life eternal. Lord, may You begin a work in their life. Oh, it may not be visible to the naked eye, but God, may You begin to work in that heart to make them realize that they need You. Lord, it may not even come to fruit today, but Lord, may You begin that work in their heart. And we know, Lord, You've said that if You start a good work, You will complete it. And You'll take care of it and You'll help. Father, if there be here this morning, those that are lost, may they come to know You. And then God, for those of us, whether we be young men, young ladies, whether we be men, ladies, whether we be fathers or mothers, brothers, sisters, children, whoever we are, dear God, in our station of life, may we know that we have eternity. All because we have a Heavenly Father. Father, we bless You, we thank You, and we honor You today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.